Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Here we go indeed. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston. So happy to be with you guys tonight. We are still on celebrating this year of relationship resolutions, and tonight we are having our Black History Month edition, where we will be talking with Charity Purvis Jordan, actress, mother, wife, activist with 10-plus years of experience in performing arts and youth development. I'm very excited to have this young lady on my show. Because she is clearly a trailblazer, and we want to definitely get into knowing what it is that she is doing, what she's been up to. So I won't hold us up. I'm going to bring her right in so she can tell us a little bit more about herself, and we'll get our conversation started. Charity, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us tonight on our show.
Excited to be here.
Yay. If you will, could you just tell everyone who you are, where you're from, and what it is you do?
Hey, well, you already gave a great intro. I am Charity Jordan, and I'm from Atlanta, and I do a little bit of everything, but most recently I am known for my work that I've recently done as an actress in the film Selma.
Excellent. And I didn't even say that you're also currently working on the show Constantine, which I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, I hope this season 2 comes through. I think my things came out earlier in this season, but it was great to work on that NBC show Constantine. But it is still on Hulu and on demand and everything, so people can still check it out.
Goody, goody, because I do want to see it. I happen to actually like the character when I first saw the movie, and when I heard that they were creating a series, I was very excited about that. So,
oh, cool.
Let's get started at the top, because we're going to be discussing a few things tonight. I want to discuss Selma. I want to discuss Black women in film. And the significance of it with the current movement of today of Black Lives Matter and I Can't Breathe. And, of course, a lot of it, about you have something else that you do. You have a passion for education, and you became a female wellness expert, I believe, certified childbirth educator.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do have a variety of passions, and just empowering women in general is one of the things I'm committed to. And so I'm a certified childbirth instructor and women's wellness coach. And so I do that too. I do a little bit of everything. Now, when people say it, I'm all like, oh, yeah, I got a full plate a little bit.
Just a little. All right. Well, why don't we get started? Because I will have to admit that I have not had a chance to see Selma. So speaking with you tonight is going to be very enlightening.
Ooh, like I'm booing you and taking your card from you right now.
I can't. Listen, there are reasons. There are reasons.
Wait,
please,
what?
Tell me.
You tell me the reasons, and I'll tell you if they're good. No, just playing.
Well, I mean, I could go into, I have a full-time job. I am a internet radio host, I am a magazine editor, and I just had to travel to Chicago to speak and just landed on Sunday in a snowstorm.
All right, I'll let you slide. If you tell me, but if you tell me you saw any other movie in the last 2 months, then I'm not going to let you slide. But if you say I haven't seen any movies in the last month, then I'll let you slide. Unless you tell me you saw Scandal, just laying.
I haven't seen anything, actually. That's how busy I am. I haven't even been to the movies. I have to get myself together. And when I go, I need to see 3 at once. I need to just go and plan a day to see 3
movies
back to back.
It's so many good things out right now that sometimes you might just have to make a movie date. It really is.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to grab the friends and just go for it. But why don't we start with Thelma, your character, Viola Lee Jackson. For those of us who have not seen the movie, but I have read up about her, why don't you tell us a little bit about your character?
Well, yeah, Viola Lee Jackson is part of a family that's actually featured in the film, the Cager Lee family, and you get to see an intimate account of actually a traumatic experience that happened with that family. Viola Lee Jackson is the mother of Jimmy Lee Jackson, and we just actually watched their commitment to justice and how it plays out, unfortunately, for the family. But I think it's a great portrayal of the heartache and suffering and also the passion of mothers that have been involved in the movement.
Yes, yes. When you took on this role and you read up on the woman, her character, and her significance in the movement, how did you prepare for it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a mom as well, and I think that this character actually was a gift to me as an actress, just because it was a chance to actually honor the mothers who have been faceless, voiceless, you know, nameless for so many times and instances in our country that mothers have lost children and lost spouses and sons, daughters, and even now, and we don't really know them. I mean, no one knows Trayvon Martin's mom's name, or do we know the Ferguson case mom's name? We really focus a lot of times on the victim. And usually the biggest victim is the people who are left behind grieving, and oftentimes those are the mothers of those people. So I was really honored to just do my best to authentically play and portray the suffering of the mothers.
Excellent. Excellent. Regarding women in film, because I think that's a hot topic, when it talks about how especially Black women are portrayed in film, on television, in the media, I would love to hear your thoughts behind this. I also watched, I believe it was a quick interview with Ava DuVernay and Oprah, where she was saying she had been pushing this project for a while, and no one would produce it, no one would get behind it. And then she went as far as to say that no male would produce it until Oprah stepped up and decided that it was something that had to happen, that had to be. And she produced the film. I love it that women are coming together to produce the films, plays, I mean, all kinds of things. We're coming together to really put our foot out there, to put our voices out there. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on this and get your opinion about working with these two phenomenal women.
Yeah, definitely two amazing and phenomenal women. I mean, first of all, they not only reflect, you know, everything great that it is about being an African-American female, they have great integrity, they're well-spoken, they are full of humanity, but they're also great businesswomen. And so it was such an honor to work with both of them, Oprah and Ava. And I will say this, I think that the push in general when it comes to media is that is we are still new to the avenue of producing it. When I say we, I mean African-Americans. And so we're still making trails and we're still paving our way through those trails. And so what Oprah actually did for us was help out the cause. Now, Ava wasn't necessarily the one pushing for the film for a while. She actually came into the project within the last year and a half as well, but it is a project that has been going around the bend for a while, and in general, people were passing it up, I think for a variety of reasons. I feel like the story wasn't quite right yet until Ava was on the project, but also I think that it's an American icon, an American story that people are kind of like, oh, not sure how we want to touch it and if we want to touch it, and a lot of the issues was a budget issue for, I think, other producers and directors more than it was a story issue. So I'm grateful to Ava for not letting budget or story stop her from making such an iconic film.
Excellent. And, you know, what can we do to really continue to put more
images? Well, we got to go to the movies. We got to go to the movies on opening on opening
why,
weekend.
Why are you?
No, and I'm not saying that to you. No, I'm not putting you out there.
Why are you putting me out there like that, Charity?
I know. Dad. Wait, let me rephrase it. Okay, here we go. One of the top things we could do is, no, but honestly, when I say that, and not just to you, but to a lot of panels and people that I speak to get them to understand that it really is a money question and answer game more than it is anything else. Like, Hollywood makes stories because they know they can make money off of it. So you'll see the same stories told over and over with different robots or different actresses or actors because they know they can make money off of it. When it comes to black media and black film, there's still a question of economics. There's still a question of buying power, selling power, and if we're actually going to come out and invest in those things. Are we going to come out on opening weekend? Are we going to find a babysitter to take care of our kids for the rated R thing? Like, what are we going to do to make sure that we show our voice in the theater box office? And so one of the things that we really do have a really big platform right now to show our stakes and that we really do matter, that black lives matter, the black stories matter when a film like Selma comes out, if we knock it out the box office. And, you know, American Sniper came out a couple weeks later and it knocked the numbers out the box office. I mean, what American Sniper brought in compared to what Selma brought in the first weekend, you know, we're like night and day. Now, that's not to say, I mean, American Sniper had a little bit of different marketing angle, had a little bit more, you know, action kind of thing behind it. But at the end of it, it still was just as artsy of a film as Selma was. But it was up to us to make an impact. It's up to us to go out to buy tickets, even if we don't go to the movies. I mean, I was telling people who were saying, well, I can't make it to the movie or opening weekend. I got something else planned. Well, you can buy a ticket. I mean, you can be an activist and saying that Black Lives Matter, that Black media matters. You can buy you a ticket on Fandango and never go. You can buy a ticket on Fandango and give it to a friend on Facebook. You can do a lot of things. That's what Taraji P. Henson does. She got the screener because she's a part of all the acting guilds. But she said, I know how much box office tickets matters. And so she just purchased 4 tickets just for the numbers. And everyone can't do 4 tickets, but everyone can invest $10. Because it's $10 investment now into a ticket that'll say we can get a movie made for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? But if we don't do it, it'll be 10 years before we get a movie made again.
Nice. Now, do you think that the way that we are portrayed in the movies has something to do with the fact that we're not showing up in numbers to support it economically?
Of course. I mean, people can tell. I mean, if you don't have the buying power, then you don't have the voice to make a change. Okay, so right now, Selma was told in such a beautiful way. The story and the voice behind the story was one of respect and one of honor and one of empowering our community. I really feel like Ava was committed to all those things and committed to empowering our community, committed to keeping the legacy of Dr. King alive, committed to telling a story in an authentic way. However, if someone else was behind the camera, behind the script, behind the project, who knows the story that would have been told? And if we don't have the power to even come out to watch it, then we can't even complain. We can't complain about something if we're not even going to see it. So a lot of times our stories don't get told, or they get told in a very skewed way because we're not a part of the project. We're not a part of the writing. We're not a part of the planning. We're not a part of the money in investing in it. And so people can take our stories and our lives and do whatever they want with them. It's the same thing that you see on a regular basis, same thing you see in education. It's the same thing you see in legislation. It's the same thing you see in Ferguson. It's all the same thing. If we're not actively involved in the movement, if we're not actively involved in the progress, then people can do whatever they want with our lives. So we have such a great opportunity now with the state of the country to really show up and to really make some differences. And I think the film really does explore that. Like, what happens when people decide to commit to a cause, to follow the leadership, and to not give up until they see it done? What really happened? And it changed the nation, as we see.
True, true. Now, clearly in the movie Selma, we know the significance of the movement then. You know, it was economics. It wasn't just people standing up and spouting rhetoric or spouting passions of what they believed. It was directly connected with the economics of our people. And that was what affected the government and all the decisions and why things began to change just a bit. How is it that we can I don't want to say convince, I don't think convince is the right word, but how is it that we can enlighten people to the fact that there is still a movement? I personally believe that we're not connected with the fact that even just purchasing a ticket in order to support our stories is a literal movement. And how do we make it, you know, what is your opinion about being consistent? Because I also believe that the reason why we're not consistent about purchasing tickets, because we clearly have the buying power, is because we don't consistently see what we would like to see and on the big screen. So, you know, how do we make one work for the other? Your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's just getting the word out there. I mean, I think it's leading by example. We have right now, anybody can have a cause and make sure that it's known. I mean, everyone was pouring ice cold water buckets on their head because of what the social media did. And people right. will do whatever they're expected to do. I mean, we lead by example, and then we set the expectations that this is the expectation that we have, whether you want to see it or not, whether it's a movie you think you would enjoy or not, whether it's a Tyler Perry movie or a 12 Years a Slave movie or something, anything that is representing us in a way that we could support. If it's top five, then we should do it. And we just lead by example. So it is on the day of, you saying, I got my ticket, are you going to get yours? It's things like that. I mean, I don't think that it's anything that could be huge. I think it's just telling people and setting expectations. So now, from now on, when you talk to people on opening weekends, that'll be the conversation you have. Like, dang, you'll never forget. Dang, Charity Jordan was like, if I ain't going, I should at least spend $10 to get a ticket. Because, honestly, people will see it. And everyone's not going to be a part of movements in the same way. Some people are going to march. Some people are going to bail the people out. Some people are going to make the sandwiches. And you need each and every one of those people in order to have a successful movement. But you have to be a part of it.
Agreed. I really like what you just said, where everyone is not going to be a part of the movement in the same way. I think that's a very important point for all of us to get and understand that, you know, it's not always about the marcher. There are people who are going to be behind the scenes. There are people who are going to be out in the street marching. I love that you made that particular point.
Yeah.
If you're just joining in, you are listening to Charity Purvis Jordan, actress, mother, wife, activist, portraying our wonderful sister in Selma, also a part of Mommy Uncensored. I can't wait to get a little bit about what that is about. Are you still?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about Mommy Uncensored.
So yeah. Mommy Uncensored, Confessions of a Real Mom, is a web series that my husband and I produced. It's a comedy web series, well, a dramedy, because it's so much craziness in it that it makes you laugh. But it's just talking about the real-life experiences of a stay-at-home mom as she drudges her way through learning and figuring out parenthood and all those other things that go along with that, how it affects her marriage, how it affects her body. And so we have been producing that for the last 2 years. We have two full seasons online now. Season three is coming up soon. And it's been really good. We've been got a lot of press. We won a lot of awards with it. Hope people check it out. It's still on YouTube. You can just go there. You go directly to the website, mommyuncensored.tv.
I definitely will. I'm going to be posting that in the Facebook event for all of us to check out. We definitely want to support you in that, since we were talking about support. Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's move on and talk to us about, I mean, clearly you are about supporting women. The role that you're choosing speaks to that. And now let's talk a little bit about you becoming a certified childbirth educator. How does that happen? Actress, Viola Lee, and then childbirth educator.
Say it again one more time for me.
I said, how does that happen that you became a certified childbirth educator, from actress to certified childbirth? So you're managing both identities.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's multiple identities over here in this world. but I do have a passion. I just had a passion for empowering women and making sure that they were having the birth experience that they wanted to have. And after having my children, I was really committed to that and making sure that not only were people well-educated, but well informed on the different avenues, the different choices and options that they have, and really trying to give back that experience to women in a way that has been kind of taken away and made a more doctor-centered experience. I wanted to make sure that it became a mother-centered experience. And so for all the people that I help out and assist in that way, I try my best to focus it on how they can have the best experience and the experience that they want to have.
Nice. Because you are a woman who is managing multiple identities, multiple gifts, and I happen to believe that it's a gift that we all have, what encouraging word can you give those or some of us who are already doing it, to manage it successfully?
You know, I don't know if I have that quite figured out right now. I mean, if I look at what my today was like, I might not have the right answer. But I do think just giving yourself room for error. I mean, do something great every day. I don't do everything great every day, but I do at least one thing great every day. And, you know, kind of focusing on that. I mean, it's really easy to get hung up on all the things you mess up on all the things you wish you would have accomplished, how much you wish you would have done that day. But for the most part, just be the best you. I mean, we're managing so many different things and have so much going on in our life that it could easily be triggered into, well, let me just focus on what's not going right. But we're such dynamic women. You just got to really focus in and keen in on what's going on right.
Excellent. Now, I would love to move the conversation toward chatting more about Black history and ask you about some of your favorite historical figures in Black history.
Oh, man. Okay, let's see. Who am I really into right now? I'm actually really into Rosa Parks right now because my children are focusing on her in school, and we really have been taking that conversation a little bit further to what it looks like to be a female leader, why was she chosen, the strategy that they used to choose her. I think a lot about the afterwards, like, okay, so after everything was accomplished, you know, just for the rest of her life, the fact that she was Rosa Parks, you know, and what that looked like, it felt like. We didn't have some of the such media outlets then, but just for the remainder of her life, she was such an icon, so I'm really into her right now. Let's see, who else am I? Who do I love? I always love the commitment of people like Winnie and Nelson Mandela, who weren't necessarily here in this country, but were actually leading a civil rights and equality fight after ours had shortly finished, but with such long-term consequences, you know. And I think about just what that would be like to be stuck somewhere for 20 plus years because of something I believed in. I mean, I dare to think that I have that level of commitment about anything. Those are a couple of my favorites. I'm going to see who else I really like. I also really am a fan of the musicians that during that time period. So like Mahalia Jackson, Harry Belafonte, those guys who use their art as a way to spread messages, Mama Makeda, Miriam Makeba, Fela. I really am into people who use their art to change the world.
Excellent, and I'm not surprised by that because I believe that that is something that you feel that you're doing. Can we talk about that, you know, how are you using your art to really make a difference in the lives of your children and, you know, to make it a historical fact that you stepped up, you use your art in order to tell a story, to show your commitment toward this movement?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it goes beyond that. So I'm passionate about education as well. And so I've been spending a lot of my time recently doing talkbacks at schools who have taken their students to see the school, the movie, and just helping them process what they saw visually, their emotions, what they felt through that, and help them talk through some of those things. Also, I created a Selma Reflections essay contest, where youth are able to submit some writings about just their thoughts after the film, after watching it. And my hope was really to give them a voice. Sometimes it's really hard when you leave a movie because, you know, pizza is usually afterwards or something that's instantly fun and people expect you to instantly bounce back when a lot of times you're still processing and your psyche is having an experience that your body is now asking you to leave really fast. So I wanted to give students especially an opportunity to speak and share their voice on things they were feeling after they saw the film. So those are two things that I'm doing right now. I'm really passionate about making sure that those writings get in and giving them a chance to creatively and freely write and share their voice that way.
Wonderful, wonderful. To our listeners, we are at this the end of the top of the hour. We're in our first half hour of the show. And if you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest, please do give us a call, 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you are waiting with a question or comment, and we'll bring you right in. I do see that we have a caller. Caller, your number ending in 7181. I'm bringing you in now. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom.
Hello, Cynthia. It's Gail Roddy here.
Hi, Gail. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. I've been listening to this great show, and I just had a thought that I wanted to ask your guest. If I've often had a fantasy, as we were talking about the great women of history, whether it's recent or older history, especially in this country, I often fantasize about having a sit-down with Billie Holiday or Rosa Parks or even Harriet Tubman, and to be a sounding board for those women, because when we talk about all their strengths and what they did and how they changed the course of history, I often think about how they felt as they were about to lie down for the night, whether it was Harriet Tubman out in the field or whether it was Billie Holiday after she took that hit of heroin. Were they able at all to process anything that was going on around them, whether it was the success, whether it was the failure, whether it was the pressure of just living every day as a Black woman throughout the course of history in this country and the world? I often would love to have been a sounding board because we didn't have that. We didn't have therapists that could help us unwind so that we could be much more effective. Now, there have been people who have said that Martin Luther King, with his rumored infidelities, I don't know if they're true or not, but men were allowed to be able to have those things to decompress because that's what he was doing. It was a way for him to decompress. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm simply saying that that's a fact. But women didn't have to compress. We were expected to just take everything that was happening and still be strong. So anyway, I don't mean to run on, but I just wonder if that is a thought that anyone else has had, a woman or a man. Has anyone else had that fantasy of what would it have been like to give them some support?
Charity, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, do we have that now? I mean...
I agree. I'm thinking the same thing.
We have access to it, but are we using it now? I mean, we still have women that have many roles, jobs, pressures, anxieties, and they lay down and they wake up and do it again today. I mean, famous or not. So I don't know. I think the real call to action would be for us to take better care of ourselves in general, to make time for ourselves in general, so we can be more effective. I don't know if we've really conquered that now. So they probably felt the same way that we feel tonight.
Well, at least we do have access to it today anyway, as you said. We at least have access. They had no access to it.
I don't know if we use it. I mean, I think we have access, but I mean, how many of your friends go to therapy or counseling or are committed to a class or organization that is simply about taking care of themselves? I mean,
you've created a a platform to help women, to help mothers. So you created that yourself to be involved in that. That's a support right there. Are women
it
coming
is.
To it, or are they?
Right, I'm thinking. Yeah, it is, but it's still even going to take time on something that's precious as bringing life into the world. It's still work for me to even convince women of the priority of that. And that's
okay.
The, I mean,
the
most
that's
vulnerable.
What I was asking. Right.
You understand? Like that's still the most vulnerable and the most beautiful moment of our lives is bringing another human being into the world, and we still don't even take time for that. I mean,
okay.
There's always excuses for that. And I'm not saying at large, but I am saying that the majority of women aren't taking childbirth classes. The majority of women are not doing some birthing choices against the grain. I mean, but I do think it's because of the expectation on women in general in culture to be the all in all, to be able to hold down all the fronts, the social emotional front, the physical front, you know, the financial front. So I do think for a while we've been just used to wearing so many hats. And
yes.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure that we all necessarily really understand our value yet. Even, you know, we understand the value of the historical women that we've been speaking about tonight because we're on this side of history.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're living the history, or, you know, we're living out our own histories right now, and I don't think that we're always fully aware of our needs. You know, it seems like we are, but I don't think that we're fully aware of our needs or our value or with all the information, even then, still how to take care of ourselves and take care of each other. How do we make, you know, any suggestions on how we do that? How do we make ourselves aware? I mean, there's television, there's, you know, there's gym, there's all kinds of programs, but like most people, we don't know the value of any parts of ourselves until we're unable to use that part. Either for a time or anymore. How do we bring to the forefront our value on everything, whether it be health, whether it be on screen, whether it be off screen, whatever it is? I would love to hear some suggestions on how we really help us understand the values of ourselves.
Well, I think just kind of doing even what your caller said is acknowledging that we do have some deficits, some things that we're missing, and then taking little steps. I work with another organization called the Self-Care Alliance, and one of the things that that's committed to is to just taking simply better care of yourself. And through a series of steps and accountability, her name is Anana Paris Harris, but she's a great advocate for taking care of ourselves in the smallest form first. So that might mean if you say, okay, I need to be healthier. Okay, what does that look like? Well, I need to eat better. Okay, what does that need mean? You know, I need to, like, have eight fruits and vegetables a day and drink 8 glasses of water. Okay, well, let's start out with 1 glass of water a day. Let's master that first, because we end up going through these big lofty things of what we're going to do when we just need to do the small things, master the small things first. So I think just simply taking a step in the right direction, one step that you really can achieve, and mastering that first, and then being willing to just ask for help. Honestly, just open your mouth and say, I need a little help, or I'm suffering, I'm drowning here. Sometimes we don't do that.
No, I agree that we definitely do that. And I know that about myself personally, but sometimes I can say for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but as for me, I don't always know that I'm drowning until there's not enough air to breathe. So I'm learning to be more aware of when I need to ask for help, or, you know,
yeah,
take a moment and say, wow, you know, I didn't even know I was stressed. I had that experience today where I didn't even realize that I was stressed out all of this time over one particular thing until the resolution finally showed up today. And all I really want to do is just lay down and take a nap, that it was finally over. So, you know, making ourselves aware that we're actually in a state of stress and admitting it, like you said, we need to really acknowledge it. and mastering the small steps. Gail, I would love to hear, because I know that you're a vegetarian and you live a strict lifestyle, a strict healthy lifestyle. How do we go about mastering the small steps?
You just start one step at a time. I've been at it for 30 years. So people always say, oh, Gail, you're so strict. Oh, you do so well. You take care of your body. But I had to start somewhere. And I started 30 years ago. And it's pretty much just like your guest said. I had to say one day, I don't like the way I'm feeling. How can I change this? I'll do one thing. And I did that one thing, and I felt better. And then I said, okay, what can I add to this that would be easy? And I added that thing. And those things that I added at the beginning are still there. They are still the foundation. And so you just have to start, and that's was great advice, is to don't try to drink 8 glasses of water. You're not going to do that. I still don't drink 8 glasses of water a day, but I drink probably 5. And it's just start with one glass. Start with one glass a day. And it's amazing how that, it sets you on the path. How much it actually does is not important, but it gets you in the habit of saying, I need to make changes. What can I do today to make the smallest change? And then you feel so good about what you've done. You just want to keep going. And so that's it. It's just years of practice, like learning how to play the piano, to throw a softball, to sew, anything. You just start it and you keep going. That's it.
Ladies, I'm really grateful for the conversation that we're having right now, because the intent was to talk more about the movie, about the character, and it is really turning into an encouragement session for me. I don't know about for you guys, and I'm sure for some of my listeners, that we're really talking about two major things, which is support and acknowledgement. You both brought up some wonderful points on supporting ourselves, supporting movies, acknowledging the names of people, acknowledging our history, acknowledging the people that helped us get here. And I want to thank you both for doing that, because it was unintentional but very needed. And I'm hoping that will be the takeaway for all of our listeners tonight, that we really need to acknowledge each other, to support each other, to take small steps in doing so, and master the small things, as Charity said, to really master the small things and find value in yourself. I would love for both of you, starting with Gail and then with my guest Charity, to give us a couple of takeaways on value, support, and acknowledgement.
Okay. So you, what can I do, or what do I do to support other women?
Is that what can
what
we all
asking?
Do? Yeah. What do we all do to support each other, acknowledge each other, and then be able to find the value?
Well, one thing that I do that seems to work and is
Hello? Uh-oh. I think that we lost her. And I'm hoping that we didn't lose Charity. Charity, are you still there?
Hey, I'm still here. My time is wrapping up, but I do want to say this before I get off the line. Thank you so much for having me, and so grateful to be a part of such a great discussion. I do think just final thoughts, and I really believe that we have such a great opportunity now to really make a difference. And one of the things that we were talking about that really stood out to me is that we can help each other save each other by simply supporting each other. And I think that's so key. I think that's what our ancestors, Dr. King and the civil rights leaders and the movement, and even modern day Ava and all the people and Oprah, they all were deciding to support each other's dream. And it really does breathe life into yours when you see other people accomplishing what they want. And so I just really want to, encourage people to not only see the film Selma, to support it, take some other people with it, but to talk afterwards about how you can support other people's dreams and help take them to the next level as well. So I thank you. I'm so glad you had me on.
I'm grateful that you were able to stop by and talk with us. I just want to ask you to let us know how we can support you either on your website, where can we find you on social media in order to support what you do? Are you on Facebook? You have an actress page, author page, or something on Facebook?
I'm on everything.
How can you support
I'm on everything. You guys, I would love you. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter at One Charity Jordan. So that's the number one, then my name, Charity Jordan. Mm-hmm. You can check out my website, charityjordan.com, to see the upcoming events and shows that I'll be on. And then just support all things that are positive. You know, that really does feed me when there's others in the world that are supporting light. So I'm so grateful for that. I can't wait to hear some of your comments. I'm always joining in the conversation, so I would love to hear back from you guys.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so sorry that you have to go. I see that we have some more callers who are pressing
number one
so that they can have something to say.
Okay, well let's take one more question really quick.
Okay. I'm bringing in caller ending in 2069. Welcome to Travel Wisdom. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, it's Bianca. How are you guys?
I'm good. Hi, Bianca. How are you?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm good. You've been listening to the conversation?
I have.
And you wanted to say something. What was it?
I can't hear you. Can you repeat that?
I said, yeah, we wanted to know what you had to say. I don't know. You wanted to say something to us.
I did. The part of the conversation that I really enjoyed was the part about the roles of the woman, especially back then versus now. And I must say, it was an absolutely wonderful movie. But one of the parts that stuck out to me the most, and, every time I do see the movie, I just cringe, is the part when the infidelity comes out. And I don't know if it's because I'm a married woman that I cringe when I, saw that part. It was just, not that, they need to bring that up when talking about, Dr. Martin Luther King, but just as a wife, as you guys were saying earlier, when you hold down a fort and you do all these things, and, your husband is so powerful and he does so much, for them to have that time to do that was just so, unbelievable to me. So thinking about it now from back then to now, I feel like women now have a lot more independence. Like that suppression that women went through, it would not be tolerated this day and time with a lot of women. So that's all I have to say.
I don't know if it's good or bad that we don't tolerate it. You know what I mean? I think there's something to say about being committed to a family and to a cause that's beyond
ourselves,
day to day emotion of it. So I don't know. I'm torn on that as well. But I think my phone's going up. Hello.
No, we can hear you. Hello.
Hello. Can you
hear
me?
Hello.
Or that was her phone going up. Okay. I think. But I,
yes.
I think it. I'm grateful for your comment because I think it's both and.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank
Bianca,
you.
Thank you for calling in.
Anytime, thank you.
And I see that we also have Gail back. I'm bringing Gail back on. We've got 15 minutes left on the show. I'm just going to have Gail say something, and then we're going to call it a night. I'm just so encouraged by the conversation, like I said. Gail, are you there?
I'm here, and I don't know what happened. The call just kind of dropped. It happened. But I just wanted to come back and let you ladies know that I love this dialogue. This is absolutely encouraging, and we need to have more of that. Thank you, Cynthia, for having this forum. I always enjoy listening to your shows. You bring up so many wonderful things that we need to talk about. And I haven't seen Selma yet. The only reason I haven't is because my mother was in the hospital when it came out. She was very ill, and I told her, Mom, if you get well, I want to take you to see Selma. And so she got well. So we hope to go this week to see the movie. My mother will be 90 years old in June. So it was well worth waiting to go with her to see the movie.
Excellent. Excellent. Charity, I'm going to go ahead and say that I am making a promise to you that I will see this movie before next weekend. Charity, are you there? Oh, we may have lost.
Looks Charity, like we might have lost her.
Right. This is a night of dropped calls, but still a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I'm so grateful for each of you that have called in and talked with us. We're definitely going to be celebrating this whole month of Black History and Love. I'm hoping that you will, and I'm not going to say I'm hoping. I know that you're going to be joining us next week as we talk to Heath Wiggins from His Leadership, Her Trust, as we talk about the role of men in relationships and why trust is so important in order for us to be great leaders, or in order for men to be great leaders in the home. So please join us next week on Travel Wisdom as we talk with Heath Wiggins on that topic. You know what we're about. This is not just about love. It's about relationships. See you next week for Tribal Wisdom, and we'll talk with you soon. Don't forget to join us on bridaltribe.com, where you will see show notes. And join us on Twitter for our Twitter chat. I'll be posting that on the page as well as in the event. Check back with us, and we'll keep you posted. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by bridaltribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.